Say thank you to Jonathan on the sax. Wow, beautiful. Good evening, everyone. Let's all stand together. Welcome to New Hope. We had a great time last weekend at Magic Island. We had 89 who got water baptized. Would you say congratulations to them? Great weekend, a lot of sunshine. And then we got some rain this week, but that's okay. And I know that when we come here, it doesn't matter whether it rains or shines, we come here because we want to worship. Anybody ready to worship? Would you lift up the Lord? Clap on to the Lord God.
Thank you. firm foundation no matter the circumstance. So Lord, we declare your praise. Because you stood before creation.
Oh,
I think we can go crazy when we give praise to God. Don't ever forget that, how great your God is. Don't ever take advantage of what you have in this world. You know, sometimes we go through life and we see things happening, and when it rains, oh, it's raining again. You know, we can take God for granted. Don't do that. Don't do that. Dangerous. Very dangerous. Continue to stand in awe of your God. As the Bible says in the book of Acts, when they stood in awe of God, miracles, signs, and wonders began to happen in their lives. How many need a miracle in your life right now? Need a miracle in your life? Stand in awe of your God. Don't ever put him as second best. Don't ever say that God is, yeah, well, maybe. Well, Lord, well, I don't know, God. I don't know about that. If you're going to commit to God, commit to God. If you're not going to commit to God, don't commit to God. None of this standing on the fence. You cannot stand on the fence. It's either going to be for God or not for God. If you're not sure, that's okay. That's okay. If you're still not sure, that's all right. But I know that our God is a good God. I know that our God is a powerful God. He's an almighty God. You read in the newspaper where this telescope in Hawaii, they say there's another Earth out there somewhere in this other solar system. The conditions seem right where there can be water and there possibly can be life. They write this big article out there. Now, let's say that's true. I know that if they find life on that planet, whatever that life is, we'll say, you know that God you've been worshiping? We're worshiping the same God. The same God. We see the same God in the universe. I know that because God is that great. God creates all things, folks. And even though there's so much going on in the universe, he loves you. He loves you just for who you are. He loves your heart just where it is right now. And he will continue to walk with you throughout your toughest situation, your toughest problems. Don't deny that God. He's a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being a God that we can stand in awe about, Lord. No matter what we may be going through in life, no matter the challenges that we may face, that continually surround us and pull us from left to right, Father. No matter what we go through in life, we know that you are an unchangeable God and that love that you share with us will always be the same. You will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. That's why we can stand here, Father, and take a stand for you. Lord, because you love us, thank you for loving us. We want to love you in return. And those around us, who are brothers and sisters around us, Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come and we just speak to our hearts tonight. Will you be our greatest companion tonight and begin to teach us into our heart what we need to know, what we need to learn to leave here differently than when we came in? We praise you for being a good and almighty and a gracious God. We lift up this time to you with all of our hearts, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say together? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Lord. Give someone a hug. We welcome them to New Hope tonight. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I'm Larry G, the graphics director here at New Hope. Welcome to this weekend's edition of New Hope in Action. Hey, last weekend we had 50 pastors visit with us to learn valuable leadership principles from Pastor Wayne. Not only did they learn the value of daily devotions, they also learned the value of having fun. It was a fruitful time for all as they assisted in baptizing the 89 people who publicly declared their commitment to Jesus Christ at Magic Island. Congratulations to all those who got baptized. Our college and young adult ministry Fuse recently had a retreat at Camp Erdman where over 160 young adults experienced the touch of the Holy Spirit.
I don't want to be mindset you up
One of the most amazing things about the retreat is how many young adults came away with a sense that in being a part of Fuse, they were going to be a part of something that was absolutely going to make a huge difference through being in the hands of God. So I think that the awesome reason to become a part of Fuse is because God is going to use it to redeem this generation for His name and use them to make a massive difference in this world.
Fuse meets every week in the Leeward area and also in Waikiki. Visit their website at www.fusehawaii.com for more information. On any given week, there are tons of groups at New Hope that come together to fellowship, pray for each other, study the Bible, and even exercise. They're called life groups. These groups are great ways to grow in relationships with other believers while growing in your faith. There are so many ways to get involved here at New Hope. To find a life group, visit honolulu.newhope.org or visit the welcome tent outside after service. It's a Pantone book. So this here is the color of your notes next weekend. 630. Color is different on the computer screen than it is in print and ink. Inside look into the graphics at New Hope. Oh, that's it for this weekend's edition of New Hope in Action. I'm Larry G. I'll see you next time.
Say thank you to Larry G for that New Hope in Action. Thank you for being here. Hey, a lot of good things happening. Open up your bulletins, please. A lot of great announcements going on in there. I want you to make sure you take your time and read through them. Marketplace Ministry is having an event, and Brian Klemmer, very well-known speaker, he'll be there. Now, the Marketplace Ministry is for this purpose, to gather up those of New Hope who are in the marketplace, to give you a chance to come together and begin to build relationships. Also, to bring friends or business associates who may not know Christ yet. And so, Brian Klemmer, that event would be a great one for you to bring someone who may not know about Jesus Christ and come to that event, and they'll learn a lot more in a non-threatening way, all right? Here's another announcement, a couple more that are not in your bulletin right now. One is your the prison ministry. They are getting ready for another outreach to the Saguaro prison in Arizona. Now, as you know, Saguaro houses about 1,900 of Hawaii's inmates. And so our prison ministry loves to do these outreaches to reach the local boys up there. And we know that many of them are of Samoan ancestry. So our prison ministry contacted the Katinas. And the Katina says, we are in. We want to be there. We want to help to worship and lead those who don't know Christ to the Lord. And also for the Hawaiian side, we got the Bradas going up. They have agreed to be a partner with us in that effort. So it's a pretty large outreach, and so they need to raise some funds to make sure that they have the funds to transport everything up there. So what they're selling are these little popcorn bags here, a lot of candy popcorn, and you know, the last service, I flung it way out there. But tonight, you know what I want to do? I want to give it to this little girl right here. Would you come and get this here? And let me tell you why. I was watching her worship tonight, and she had her hands up, and she was just praising God with all that she had. So there you go. Okay, make sure you brush your teeth before you go sleep. All right? So I'll give that to her. And now they also have this, the DVDs of, you may have seen it, you may not have seen it on television, Stories of Hope, where Kim Janala hosted a Hope program about the prison ministry and what's going on in Saguaro. So I gave that bag to her, and I'll fling this one out there. How's that, huh? Nah, I don't want to hurt anybody. So anybody want this? You can have this here. Yeah, right here. Go ahead. And you can also pick this up at the prison ministry table and allow others to get to know the stories of hope. There you go. Here's another announcement that is not in your bulletin, but you do have a voter registration application in your bulletin. If you have not yet registered to vote, if you voted in the last election, the primary, you're good to go, right? But if you've since moved or had a name change, or something that happened, you know, different demographics in your life, You may need to re-register or register again to vote. We've placed the application in your bulletins. Why did we do that? Because it is very important, folks, in this general election for you to vote. We have people say, you know, why are you mixing politics in church? It's not mixing politics in church. We have a citizen's right, and as Christians, we need to be a part of what's going on in the community. And the only way you can be a part of it is if you vote. Not just register to vote, but you need to vote. And so if you have not yet registered, please fill it in. The deadline to turn in these applications is Monday. So what we're going to do is, as you exit the auditorium on the right-hand side, you'll see a table there. We will collect the applications, and Ryan Tsuji will hand-deliver it to the clerk's office for you on Monday morning. We're going to get that done for you, all right? So if you haven't registered, please do so. We also have available absentee ballot applications. This is the first year they've allowed you to permanently claim to be an absentee voter. I've been doing it for the last, 15 years or so, and it's so easy. You fill it in, they send you the ballot. You don't have to go to any polling places. They'll send you the ballot in the mail. You just check it off and mail it, and you're done. You're voting. But the whole challenge, folks, this year is to get people out to vote. The issues are very important for us to consider. This Wednesday night at our lead center, I will be talking about the issues involved. I'll be talking about the different candidates involved. I can't tell you who to vote for from this pulpit. If you want to ask me after when I'm not standing here, I'll gladly tell you who I'm going to vote for. But I'll be talking about the issues, what the candidates stand for on both sides. We've invited representatives from Duke Iona's camp, as well as Neil Abercrombie's camp, to be there, and they can pass out whatever literature they have about their candidates. This is where I say it. We provide, you decide, right? So we're going to provide you with everything we can, what the church's values are all about. You then take what the candidates give you, and you align it up with what you believe in as your values, and then you vote. But you got to vote. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen? All right, we need to all vote. It's that important for this election year, all right? Going to ask if the ushers would prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings, and let's continue to worship the Lord in our giving. Father God, thank you for all that we experience in life. Father, the seasons that we live in. Lord, although there may be many uncertainties with the elections coming up, Father, and I know Wednesday night, Father, we'll talk about it, and we will also pray, Lord, for this election season. We want to lift it all up to you, Lord. We know that you're in control. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And so we give now, not out of duty. We give now because we want to honor you. So we give of our gifts. We pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. How many of you have a difficult time sharing your faith with someone around you? Especially if it's your family member or someone who you may not know that well. I do. I think it's easier for me, one on many, than for me to go one-on-one with someone. But God has given us a gift to share, and we're going to learn about that. How do we share our faith? But before that, let's take a look at this.
You know that I am called the Count, because I really love to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. I love counting, whatever the amount. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. That's his song.
I am the Count, and I love to count things. Today's number is the number 5, and today we will count top 5 reasons I do not share my faith backwards. So let's begin. Number 5, I'm afraid I might get beat up.
Oh, hey guys, have you heard about Jesus?
Jesus? Yeah, yeah, we know about Jesus. You're gonna meet him!
Oh, okay, but,
yeah, can you believe this guy talking to us about Jesus? We need to teach this cat a lesson.
Oh, yeah,
no,
we
no.
do.
No, no, no.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, please don't meet me.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yes. Well, let's count some more. Number four reason I don't share my faith is I'm afraid I won't make any sense.
If you don't get the contract to me by tonight, then the deal is off. Did you hear?
Excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me, did you need something?
Jesus. Sky. Yeah. Lord and Jesus.
The bathroom's that way.
No. Okay. Heaven. Heaven. Yes, heaven.
Is this a real estate issue?
Nice place. No, Jesus is heart and love and
Excuse me. Sorry, I was just interrupted by some idiot who can't speak any English.
Oh, wait. Jesus is life, and
Don't stop the fun. We have much more numbers to count. And the next number in the countdown is the number 3. I'm afraid I'll be a bad witness.
Wow. Dinner was so good. Thank you so much. And thanks for picking up the tab. You didn't have to do that.
Oh, no. It wasn't a big deal. Actually, I've been, meaning to ask you about something. And
Whoa!
Hey, yeah, that's right. You keep walking, buddy. You watch it. Yeah, that's right. Keep walking. I wanted to ask you if you've heard about Jesus.
Jesus. Right.
This is exciting. We are nearing our last number. What the number is... What is it? Number 2. I don't want people to think I'm a religious nut.
Darling. You're so hilarious.
Funny.
Excuse me, sir. Can I speak with you about Jesus?
How dare you approach us, my wife and I, about Jesus?
Well, how you. Dare you?
I know your type. You're those right-winged, conservative, Jesus-loving
nutjobs!
Oh, no. Trying to brainwash me?
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are!
No,
you're always judging
really
me,
not.
Left and
no,
right.
No, I'm not judging.
Let's get out of here. Good day, sir.
No, wait,
good day, sir.
What about my feelings?
We are at our last number. I'm so excited. And the last number, I don't reason why I don't share my faith is I don't know enough about God.
So, I've been thinking about what you said, and I've decided to give my life to the Lord.
Oh, that's awesome! Oh, man, this is going to be the most eternal and best decision you ever make. I promise you. Oh, that's so cool.
I just have one teeny tiny question.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
You know, before I completely commit to the Lord, you know,
understandable.
Take the
Lord challenge,
you can answer something for me?
Oh, yeah, of course, anything.
Okay. What kind of impact did the apocalyptic writings in the book of Revelations, what kind of impact did that really have on the eschatological theory of the early church? Come on, you know the answer.
I don't know. I don't know.
What?
Why don't I know this stuff? Oh, man, I'm so stupid. Now you're going to go to hell because you're not going to accept Jesus, and now it's all apparently all my fault because I don't know the answer to this simple question.
You identify with any one of those scenes?
Sometimes it's hard, you know, to share your faith, and you just don't know where to begin. Well, here to teach us tonight how to do that, because it's not that hard, is a dear brother, a good friend of ours. He travels around the world teaching leaders and developing others to share their faith. And I want you to hear his heart and take this home with you. I want you to, first of all, get to meet him, and I want you to hear what he has to teach us tonight to learn. Would you welcome Danny Lehman as he comes out? Danny.
Testing, are we on? How many of you are alive? Good. Well, I'm really happy to be here, and especially here at New Hope. I live right in Waipahu, so I get a chance to observe folks from this church everywhere, but just coming here today, I just felt just so many friendly faces and so many people that were just treating me with some real aloha and like I was family. Coming in here, a lot of the folks here at New Hope, a really warm feeling. I'll tell you, I'm in a different church every Sunday, do a lot of traveling, and to be honest, I'm going to be like it when a preacher says to be honest. That means everything else he says, he's not going to be honest, but he'll tell you when he's being honest. Or when you say, and to tell you the truth, well, that means the rest of the stuff he's saying is not going to be true. But actually, I've been in some churches that were so cold you could ice skate down the aisles, you know. This is really a warm church and a church that if I went here, I would feel comfortable inviting non-Christians to come. And that's part of what I want to talk to you about tonight. So, if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 17. If you don't have your Bible, turn in your notes to the... Evangelism for the Rest of Us. That's the title of our message tonight. I'm going to hit my stopwatch, lest I preach the everlasting gospel. And we want to just draw your attention to these scriptures. What I'm going to do is read the text, and then I'm going to put certain emphasis on certain syllables as we go through to try to get your attention. But while you're turning there, I want to do a little commercial. I've got a book table in the back. You go out straight and make a left. Right after you go sign up to vote and put in your absentee ballot, then make a left and you can go to these books. Now, these books are on a suggested donation. We're already slashing prices here tonight for our good friends at New Hope. But if you don't have any money, just tell, we got our YWAM people out here. I'm the YWAM leader here in Hawaii. And they're back there and they'll be willing to give you the books for free. If you don't have any money, just tell them. If you do have a lot of money and you take books and you don't pay for them, may the Lord smite you with boils from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I got to pay my bills too, you know. All right. So, but the three books are, now, the title of tonight's message is Evangelism for the Rest of Us. Evangelism, by definition, is telling people about Jesus and trying to help them come to know the Lord. So this is called Beautiful Feet. The Bible says two times, if you share the gospel, you have beautiful feet. You might have flat feet, fat feet, web feet, any kind of feet, but they're beautiful if you share the gospel. And so this has to do with the message, the messengers, the motives, and the methods of how you share your faith, steps to a lifestyle of evangelism. Second book is called Before You Hit the Wall. How many of you say, Danny, I've already hit the wall? Well, Before You Hit the Wall is taken from 1 Corinthians 9, where the Bible mentions the Christian life being like a race. We have to get into physical shape to run a physical race. You have to get in spiritual shape to run a spiritual race. So I talk about fasting, solitude, rest, physical exercise, diet, Bible reading, Bible journaling, prayer, intercession, all kinds of stuff for this to develop personal spiritual discipline in your life. And then the last one, but not least, called Stoked. This comes a little bit from my surfing background, and this just has to do with being on fire for the Lord and fueling the fire of your life. I've been saved 35 years, and I can't think of one logical reason why I shouldn't be more on fire right now than I was when I first received the Lord. And I want to encourage you to let the fuel of God's fire stoke your fire for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you for that spontaneous response. We'll try to get a better amen out of you later, but it is the second service, so we'll forgive you. Okay, we're going to read Acts 17, 1-4. Context, we're in the middle of Paul's second missionary journey. He's planting churches, he's reaching out to people, and the text says this. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, turn to your neighbor and say Amphipolis and Apollonia very quickly. They came to Thessalonica, there's another tongue twister. where there was a Jewish synagogue. And as his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them. You can see I have subtly put in bold font the six verbs I would like you to look at as we emphasize certain syllables. But the word custom is a key word here, because it was Paul's custom to go into the synagogues and reason with them. And I'll talk to you a little bit about this word. It means to dialogue. It's a conversational word. He reasoned with them in the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence or proclaim or proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. Now, what we're going to do tonight, the count gave us five reasons we don't share our faith. We're going to give you 13 ways to share your faith tonight. Pastor Elwin said this is the second service, and this is the most spiritual service of all the ones that come to New Hope. He said, Danny, you can go to midnight with these people. They will hang in there with you because they love God's word so much. They don't care about the UH game. They don't care about getting up tomorrow morning. I'm just kidding. But we will run. We're going to set the New Hope record for points in a message, 13 bullet points. You can tell Pastor Wayne when he gets back, who was that guy you had in here last week? But anyway, Paul is customarily going into the synagogues. Now, what we tend to think about evangelism, if I do a word association game and say evangelism, oftentimes you think TV preacher, crusade evangelist, street preacher, beady-eyed Bible banger, stopping people on Kalakaua Avenue, trying to get them to. But evangelism is very simply sharing your faith, and there's only one of these six verbs in the text that can be translated to preach. Most evangelism is just communicating the gospel. Go into all the world and communicate the gospel is what he could have said. So when you have a will to share your faith, you'll find a way to do it. What I want to do tonight is just put a little dynamite into your preconceived ideas of what evangelism is and try to set you free to do it the way God wired you to do it, because that's your evangelism style. But the word evangelism, the word evangel, means good news. And evangelism is sharing the good news. You can do it on an internet, you can do it in a whisper, you can do it on a telephone, you can do it preaching, you can do it in a conversation. But most people come to Christ not through people like me or Pastor Wayne or Pastor Elwin. Most people come to Christ through normal people like you who work, live, and play with non-Christians wherever you happen to be in your particular kuleana of where you live. And as a matter of fact, I'm friends with several mass evangelists like Greg Laurie and Luis Palau, and I've asked them, the percentage of people who come to Christ at your big meetings, how many are brought to the meetings by friends of people where they work, live, and play? And they say, 90, 95%. So most people come to the Lord through people like us who are out there serving, 86% according to the American Institute of Church Growth. Negative side of the statistic, however, is that 90% of us, if we're normal Christians, have never led anyone to the Lord. I don't think that's because we're selfish. I don't think it's because we don't care. I think it's either because we don't know how, or nobody's ever set us free to say, hey, it's not preaching on the street. It's not keeping the hellbound spellbound at a big meeting. It's simply letting Jesus rub off on you. It's simply believing that the gospel is good news. Now, I'm in this organization called Youth with a Mission. I'm getting older now, and I'm not a teenager anymore, so we've said youth is an attitude, not an age. And so that sets us free. But we've also been known as youth without any money. And so, but one of the reasons we don't have a lot of money is we don't get salaries, and we all raise our own support. Now, my son Daniel is a worship leader. As a matter of fact, he's the best worship leader in the history of the universe. And then my other son is a street evangelist, and we're all living by faith in our family. Now, my son Daniel is named after me. My name is Daniel, but they call me Danny, a.k.a. Danny. And so I got a check in the mail a few months ago, and I looked at it and said, Daniel Lehman, and I didn't recognize the forwarding address, but I opened it, and I went, whoa, cowabunga, $1,000 check for Daniel Lehman. I called my wife. I said, honey, somebody just sent us a check for $1,000. And she says, oh, great. So she gets home and she looks at it and she says, Danny, I don't recognize this check. I think that might be for Daniel Jr. And I went, oh. So we checked it out. Sure enough, it was for Daniel Jr. And I said, okay, I'll go call him and let him know. She says, no, I want to call him and let him know. I said, I want to call him and let him know. I'm the one that opened the envelope. She said, well, I want to call him. I'm his mother. I said, well, I'm his father, and my name's Daniel. He's named after me. He's not named after you. So we started throwing pots and pans, and it got really ugly. No, I'm just kidding. But we were having this argument. Now, by the way, guess who won the argument?
She did.
Of course she did. Yeah, all the guys know she wins the argument, right? So, but why were we arguing? We were arguing because we wanted the privilege of sharing the good news. We wanted to hear him say hallelujah on the other end of the phone line because we had good news to give him. And we have the good news of our sins are forgiven. When I first got saved, I was a opal-faired, long-haired, leaping gnome on the beaches of California trying to be a professional surfer. I had my long, flowing blonde hair, and I was trying to be a professional surfer, and I didn't even get close to the top of the surfing world, and I was scraping the bottom. And not only that, but my self-image was circling the drain. And somebody walked up to me and gave me a gospel tract. It took me a while to respond because I was full of pride and stubbornness. But Jesus came into my life. He not only saved my soul, but healed my brain. I had listened to someone at a party one night, and they gave me a tab of LSD. And they said, you want something to expand your mind? I said, oh, yeah, I could dig some expanding. Shrunk my mind. And they didn't call me bird brain for nothing. And so I took 60 hits of LSD in an 8-month period of time, totally blew out my short-term memory, and I'm wandering around in circles on the beach. Somebody loves me enough to tell me about Jesus, so I accept Jesus, and then the Lord heals me. But before he healed me, I was just as spacey the day after I got saved as the day before I got saved. Now, my father's a World War II hero, my brother's a Vietnam War hero, and I'm a loser living in California, just living my life for the Lord. So I go, God, would you help me? So I got a job washing dishes. My father's a lawyer going on his way to being a circuit court judge. My brother's a homicide detective, and here I am washing dishes because I couldn't remember anything. It's very frustrating when you can't remember things. You know, I'd wash a dish and say, did I wash that dish? I can't see. It's pretty bad. Now, I am under no illusions. It wasn't like God said, man, I got that layman. He's a real prize, you know? Gabriel says to the father, where'd you get that guy, Lord? I don't know. He just kind of crawled in off the beach, but we got to accept him, you know? So the gospel is good news, and we need to remember that. Now, if you look at your text here, I have subliminally, very cleverly put these verbs. If you don't know what a verb is, ask your wife. But that's why I kept the chapter short in my books, is to get the guys to read it. But 6 verbs here. Number 1, reasoning. Now, the word reasoning just simply means a dialogue. It just simply means talking to people. When Paul went into a synagogue, it was not customary for him to jump up on a soapbox and say, open your Bibles and preach at them. No, he dialogued with them. It says that he took his Bible, and then he would say, well, this verse in Isaiah, I think it means the Messiah. What do you think? Well, I think it means, what do you think Jesus might be the Messiah? And so he would reason with them. Then he would explain to them what the text meant. Then he would prove or give evidence about Jesus. And then when he got the opportunity, he would proclaim the truth of the death and resurrection of Christ and encourage them to be persuaded to give their life to the Lord and then to join the church. So you see this kind of progression here of 6 different verbs, and sometimes you might be doing 1 and 4, and somebody else might be doing 2 and 3, or maybe you'll do all 6, or maybe somebody else will do 5 and you'll do 6, but God uses all these different evangelism styles. Now, we'll talk about the other styles in a minute, but I want to try to illustrate this by something that happened to my wife and I about a year ago. We were invited to speak in this big missions conference back in Florida, and it was macro. I mean, we had Campus Crusade for Christ, Youth with a Mission, Operation Mobilization, Assembly of God, Southern Baptist. We had them all. And so there's all these big name speakers, and somehow they slipped me in at the end. And one guy spoke on the call to the all. And so I spoke right after him on the call to the one. Because you can't reach the all until you reach the one. And so, but the meetings is not the issue. But I was almost getting spiritual indigestion from so much vision. You know, we got 1 billion Muslims and 1 billion Hindus. And we got India and Pakistan. And we got to go up the Amazon. And we got to reach all the tribal peoples. And you came home from these meetings going, Lord, have mercy. So I walk into the hotel with my wife, Linda, and we walk by this little kiosk type of little shop, you know, where they sell Cokes and candy and stuff in this hotel. So I said, Linda, go ahead up. I'm going to get an orange juice. So I went in. I got myself an orange juice, and I paid for it with the guy. And I said, you look like an Indian, but you've got a Portuguese name. He said, I am an Indian, and I have a Portuguese name. And I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from India. I said, are you from the Goa area? He said, I am from the Goa area. How did you know? And I said, well, I know the Portuguese settled Goa, and I've spent a lot of time in India. Why do you come to India? Well, I come to India to talk about Jesus. I'm at this conference and so forth. And so we just dialogued as friends, but it all started out with his name tag. And then when I got through talking to him for 5 or 10 minutes of dialogue, we got to become little friends here. And then I reached in. I got a little tract, and I gave him a little gospel tract. And he said, well, thank you very much. And I said, I'll see you tomorrow. So I went up, went to bed, came back, went to the conference halfway through the day. Bernard's back on his 12-hour shift making minimum wage, as he had told me in the dialogue. And then he said, I have some questions about this. I said, good. So he asked me about some of the things in the tract. What about sin? What about karma? What about reincarnation and dharma? And what about Hinduism and the different gods and so forth and so on? And I said, well, let me explain that to you. We're made in the image of God. And explain it. Then I gave evidence. And then I proclaimed the gospel. This went on for about 5 days. And I ended up giving him one of my books, Subliminal Commercial there. You couldn't catch it as it just went by. But I gave him one of my books. And he read the book and then was asking more questions. So we had this dialogue explaining, giving evidence and so forth for about 4 or 5 days as the conference was going on. We're becoming friends. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about Hawaii and India and then where he lived in Florida and so forth. And on the last day, we came back. There was only one more meeting. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to get us something to drink again. So I went in. And she went in with me, but then she went up to bed. And I spent 45 minutes with this guy from 10:15 to 11 o'clock persuading him to receive Jesus. Now, I didn't want to talk him into something that somebody else was going to talk him out of tomorrow. So I made sure that he understood what I was talking about. It was clearly explained that Jesus died on the cross. He had to repent, which meant he had to turn from his sins and receive Jesus Christ into his life. I explained that to him, and he received the Lord before his 11 o'clock shift was over. I went upstairs, told my wife, we rejoiced, we prayed for him, came back down the next day, and it was, he started his shift again. And in true Indian cultural fashion, he came over and he gave me a gift, and he said, thank you so much for introducing me to the true God. And he started crying, and my wife started crying, which is no big deal, she's Spanish, and she cries at McDonald's commercials. But for me, it takes a major Red Sea miracle to get me crying. So I started crying too, and we were so happy because we knew God had set it up. So I go into the church where we're having this big giant missions conference, and I knew the pastor was too busy to follow up. I said, Pastor, I need the most type A, high potency, hyperactive evangelist in your church to follow up on this guy because I don't want anybody to drop the ball because I know God set this up. And so the pastor calls this guy, and he said, what do you need, Pastor? So he brings him over, and it ends up where the guy followed up on him after I had left and then called me 3 days later. I was preaching at a meeting in Oregon, and he said not only did Renaud get saved, his wife became a Christian. They brought all three of their kids to church, and they all got baptized the next week. Now, I tell you that story. I tell you that story not to sound like a hero, but just to let you know, all I did was look at a name tag. And I don't think that's anything all that spiritual. We're not talking rocket science. We're just talking about being friendly and opening up our hearts and being able to share the good news of the gospel. Now, there are hindrances to sharing the gospel like was portrayed in our skit. Are we going to get beat up? Am I not going to have all the answers? What if I run into a Jehovah's Witness? You know, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but don't let the fear bother you. What if he asked me where Cain got his wife? Just tell him you'd tell him if you were able. That went pretty good. First service, it went right out there on King Street, but it made it this time. All right. Now, if you follow the text, which we don't have time to do tonight, you'll see that from verses 5 to 9, some pretty strong persecution came against those that were sharing the gospel. And this is just something we have to deal with. And I want to encourage you, most of you will not get killed for sharing your faith. We're in a very, at least right now, we've still got religious liberty. That's why we got a vote. But we've still got religious liberties, and we need to cherish those liberties while we have them. But brothers and sisters around the world get killed for their faith in doing what we're doing right now. So let's step out a little bit and ask God to make us a little bit more bold and strong in our witness. I remember about a year ago I was on Hotel Street, which I kind of do regularly. I go to Chinatown, share the gospel, go to the bars and some of the places down there where guys hang out. So I was on this corner, and I was passing out tracts and trying to engage people to talk about Jesus. And this guy came up to me, and he said, "Hey, get off my corner." And I said, "What corner?" He said, "This is my corner." And I'm a little sarcastic by nature, and I said, "Well, I don't see your name on this corner. Smith Street, and you're not a Smith, I can tell." And he said, and he pulls out a knife, and he says, "I said, get off my corner." And I said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Nah, I didn't say that. It sounded good, though, didn't it? You know, some of you are going, "Hey, this guy's pretty spiritual. I'm going to listen to him." No, I said, "This is your corner. This is your corner. This is not Smith. It's your, whatever your name is, it's your corner. In fact, I can go pass out tracts on you. In fact, I can go to Waikiki and get totally out of your hair. In fact, I can go to Maui and pass out tracts. It's no big deal." About an hour later, I ran into the guy. He apologized to me. Got in a fight with his girlfriend. He was in a bad mood. And then I got a chance to share the gospel. I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid. And I didn't I didn't want to get my throat cut for a corner. To tell you the truth, I don't even know if I'm spiritual enough to lay my life down for Jesus, much less a corner. But anyway. So what we want to do is we want to look right now as we begin to close. How many of you know there's a difference between beginning to close and closing? We still got 7 steps, so hang on to your seatbelts. Number one, the intentional style. The intentional style is when you actually go out to share the gospel. Now, I'm comfortable with this, but I'm an evangelist. I recognize a lot of you are not comfortable with this, and that's okay. We got 6 other styles. But there should be some of you who are comfortable going onto the campus and looking around for the local paleontology professor and taking him on. And those of you, some of you feel, you just go to Hotel Street, you go to Waikiki, you do your skits on the street, you go to campus and pass out. Some of us are good and comfortable with that, others are not. But intentional style is where you actually go out to do it. You don't just go out and say, "Well, I'm going to walk up to somebody on the street and say, come here very often? Yep. What do you do? Oh, I'm a carpenter. Oh, my boss was a Jewish carpenter." You know, or some other corny way of trying to share the gospel. How many of you know it doesn't work? So I like the intentional style. You let them know why you're there. I'm here to share the gospel. If they say they don't want to hear it, say, "Okay, thank you. Can I pass you? Okay, if you don't, okay, God bless you." And you trust in the providence of God that he's going to set up divine appointments for you. So the first one is you go out to actually do it, and you do it intentionally. Number two is the interpersonal style. And the interpersonal style is just being friendly. The Bible says a friend shows himself friendly. It says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. And oftentimes, one of the things that makes evangelism so difficult, as Becky Pippert said in her book, she said, you know, there's one thing Christians and non-Christians alike have in common, and that is they're both uptight about evangelism. And no wonder, you know, we sit on us next to somebody on an airplane, and we get all sweaty and uptight. Speaking of turbulence, did you know Jesus died for your sins? Or you're sitting next to somebody and you say, "Aloha. I'm the howley the devil warned you about." And Jack in his Aloha shirt and his wife Millie in her muumuu say, "Let's switch seats, honey," because they don't want to be around a nutcase, you know. And or, "I want to take you to New Hope Christian Fellowship. It's the end of your search for a friendly church." No, I think there's a little bit, I think we do it a little bit more subtle, a little bit more natural, a little bit more friendly. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He gets invited to a party, and it becomes a better party because Jesus showed up. A lot of times, our non-Christian friends invite us to a party, and we say, I'm not going to go to that party because there's sinning going on there. And the Lord said, that's what sinners do. They sin. And Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And they're never going to hear about it until we create friendship, relational bridges with the gospel. Now, I know you have your prison ministry, and you have your rowing ministry, and you've got all kinds of ministries going on, surfing ministries and so forth. But a lot of that and a lot of evangelism goes on within your church. As a matter of fact, tonight, before we're done, in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to commit your life to the Lord. And we do that almost every meeting here at New Hope. But I want to encourage you to go into all the world. Well, let's try that again. The answer is world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The third one is the invitational style. Now, the invitational style is easier than the intentional style because you're not actually going out to share the gospel. You're just going out to invite people to an event. You have your big Easter and Christmas events here. Your church service is very user-friendly. It's very sensitive to people who are checking it out. And so invite them to be able to come to the church. Or you can always just go out and just pass out literature and then see if the Lord might help you to witness to somebody. What I'd like to do now, just by way of demonstration, I'm going to ask my friend Rocky to come out. And we're going to demonstrate for you the... Here he comes. We're going to demonstrate for you the fine art of passing out a tract. Now, this is a tract, T-R-A-C-T, not T-R-A-C-K. And this contains within it the love of God, the fact of sin, Jesus dying for our sins, and the need for repentance and faith and following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So within this tract is the possibility that a person such as Rocky, he kind of looks like a sinner, doesn't he? And just kidding, Rocky. No. Rocky is a big guy, so I'm a little intimidated. You know, he's a big guy, I'm a little guy, I'm doing the math here, this might not work. And I'm trying to jack up, so I quote the scripture that says, the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flees when no man pursues. And so I don't want to flee, so I want to be righteous. And so I work up my willpower, and I decide to pass out a tract. Now, there's an art to this. And so let's say he's on a bus stop somewhere in Waipahu, and I walk up to him, and I go. And now, another thing you want to do when you're evangelizing, you want to have a friendly look on your face. You know, you don't want to go up to somebody and say, hey, turn or burn, buddy. No. Don't do that. You want to go up to somebody. You want to be friendly. Remember that the gospel is good news. Remember the $1,000 check? So you go up to somebody like him. It takes 14 facial muscles to smile, and it takes 72 facial muscles to frown. So do your face a favor and relax, okay? How many of you have ever seen a street preacher and he looks like he just got in a fight with his wife that morning and he's taking it out on all the sinners on the street? You know? You're going to burn in hell, you're not going to. Martha and Harry with their Moo Moo and Aloha shirts say, I think I'll go get another beer, thank you. Okay, no. So you want to make the gospel good news, so you have a very pleasant looking gospel tract here. And so I would walk up to a guy like Rocky with a friendly look on my face, say, hi, can I give you something to read? Now we're going to stop the action right here. You'll see here, this is what we call the pass-off right here. And I have my thumb and my index finger holding onto the track. Right now, he has just reciprocated, and he's putting his thumb and his index finger on the track, and then I release the track into his hand. Now, right now, we have the potential of a soul coming into the kingdom of God. This is incredible, folks. Hang on. Now, what you do like this, let's try this again, in slow motion, you shift the weight from your left foot to your right foot. You know, it's kind of a little action here. And then you extend, again, smile on the face. Hi, could I give you something to read? And he reads it. Okay. Now, some of you look kind of confused. Let's try it over here. Now, if you're left-handed, what you have to do, it's basically the same principle. But in this case, You know, still the same pivot action here. And then you put your weight on your left foot. You extend your left hand, same smile. Put it like that. And then you hand the track off just like that. Thank you, Rocky. That's all you have to do. So, if you pass out at the thought of passing out a track, then you might want to try that because it's very simple and you've just extended your hand to be able to love somebody. Now, you might think that's funny, but somebody did that to me 35 years ago. And they said, "Would you like something to read?" And I said, "Yeah, man." You know, I was trying to be real cool. And they gave me the track and took about 5 minutes with me. 5 minutes of their time and a 10 cent gospel track. And here I am. I'm going to heaven. I'm in the kingdom of God because somebody gave me a track. Now, I am not saying tracks are the be-all and end-all of all evangelism, but I'm saying they could be for some people, for those of us who like that style. But just to invite people to be able to come to a meeting. Number four is the intellectual style. It tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 30, that he that wins souls is wise. In other words, it takes wisdom. If you study Acts chapter 17, you'll see that Paul went into the synagogues, as his custom was, dialogued with them out of the scriptures explaining that Jesus was the Christ. If you zip to the second part of the chapter, he doesn't take the scriptures to Athens. He doesn't open up the Bible. He doesn't talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because they were Greeks, not Jews. They were in a marketplace and on a hill called the Hill of Ares, Areopagus. And consequently, it would have been irrelevant to talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and the law. So he used wisdom to be able to communicate the gospel. And that's why personal evangelism is so important, because it helps us to be able to try to find out where people are, to listen to them, to really hear their hearts. I was in Australia not too long ago, and I sat down with a guy, and he said, "How you going, Mike?" I said, "Oh, I'm going pretty good." And he sat down. He's got an open container there. And I'm looking at this guy. He's about my age. He looks about 10 years older than me. He's been into alcohol. He's all pickled up from the abuse of alcohol and so forth. And I said, "Tell me your story. Just tell me. I don't have anything to say. Just tell me your story." And he just told me his whole life story. And I go, "That's me." Except he was doing rugby and I was running track. And he was doing this and I was going surfing. But I ran into the right person at the right time who pointed me in the right direction. He ran into the wrong person at the wrong time, and they pointed him in the wrong direction. And so he's sitting in a gutter in Perth, Western Australia, and here I am traveling around the world telling people about Jesus, all because I ran into the right person. Now, I know that God is in control and so forth, but he's also calling for workers to go into the harvest field. Now, I got a one-liner coming up here, so get ready. Workers need to... Okay, let's try it again. That flew right over you. I realize it's tough. Okay, we're almost done. Workers need to
work.
So, I want you to respond to the Lord's call tonight and work in the harvest field. If I come back here in another year, wouldn't it be great if every one of us led one person to Christ this year and discipled that person, got them baptized, and we were able to double New Hope Christian Fellowship? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Thank you. All right. Number five, the testimonial style. This is very simply just telling people what Christ has done for you. The woman at the well, she was only one day old in her faith, if you read John chapter 4. She didn't know any theology. She had never read the four spiritual laws or the four steps to peace with God or the six quantum leaps to Jesus. She just knew that Jesus changed her life, and she had a story to tell, and she told people. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I want to encourage you, whether you're in your work or where you live or where you play or in the high school where you go to school or in the university, just tell people your story. Be a little bit bolder than you are and ask God for wisdom to be able to testify. John chapter 9, there was a blind man, blind from birth, and Jesus healed him. And he was obviously very happy about that. And the religious leaders came up to him and said, "Excuse me here, Mr. Blind Man, I know you're not blind anymore, but don't you know that this man that healed you is a sinner?" Referring to Jesus. And he says, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I know one thing. I used to be blind, and now I can see." The person with the argument is at the mercy of the person with the experience, and you have the experience because you know the Lord. Number six is what we call the demonstrational style. The demonstrational style is, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sometimes people need to see the gospel before they'll listen to it. So watching a neighbor's kids or cutting a neighbor's grass or giving somebody a ride somewhere or lending somebody some money or going out on the mission field and giving some food to the poor or helping somebody that's been the victim of a tsunami and serving somebody in practical ways can oftentimes open them up to hearing the good news of the gospel. Some of you are not very articulate with, you know, your words get twisted up. That's okay. Use your hands and go out and serve people in the name of Jesus. And you'll find that Jesus did that muchly in his ministry. The last one is the supernatural style. Let's believe that we serve a supernatural God. Somebody's sick in your neighborhood. A neighbor has someone, a kid that's run off on drugs or something. And you go up and you say, oh, I heard about your son's miss. I'm so sorry about that. Would you mind if I prayed for him? Now, 90% of the time, people will let you pray for them. Oh, I'm sorry, so sorry to hear about your diagnosis, sir. Could I pray for you? Most people won't say, I don't want you to pray for me. Get out of my face. I don't want to. No. Most people who are hurting will say, go ahead, knock yourself out. You can pray for him if you want to. I don't believe in any of that hocus pocus, but you can pray if you want. And you pray this loving prayer, and you say, well, what if they don't get healed? Hey, they're not any worse off than before you prayed for them if they don't get healed. What if they do get healed? But even if they don't get healed, the person knew you love them enough to give it a shot. And say, hey, sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. I'm not an awesome 100%. I don't bat 1,000 every time but sometimes people get healed. Let me pray for you. And oftentimes God will answer the prayer and you can move right in and say, hey, we serve a God who's active and supernatural. And he just didn't write some book and go to sleep 2,000 years ago. He's a living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can tell people about that wonderful God that we serve. Amen. Now we're going to quit now. I've gone through 13 points in 35 minutes. But I wouldn't want to leave the place tonight or let you go from here without just lovingly and with as much compassion as I can muster, plead with you if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. I don't mean being born in a church. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a Protestant. Well, I'm a Lutheran. No. Being born in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You have to make a decision for Christ. And I'd like to ask you, if you're here tonight and you have not made a decision for Christ, you haven't said yes to Jesus. We actually have a yes table out in the back. If you want to say yes to Jesus, you can have some follow-up materials and ways that we at New Hope Christian Fellowship can help you to grow in your faith. But you also might be here and be somebody that's been kind of sitting on the fence. You would be amazed at the people that I run into in Chinatown who can quote the Bible backwards and forwards, but they have no victory in their life because for some reason they talk to the wrong person at the wrong time. Well, tonight, somebody brought you here or invited you here or you landed here by some kind of providence and God's calling your number tonight. And he wants to lovingly challenge you to repent, which means to turn and trust in this loving Jesus who died for you and rose again from the dead so you never have to die. Is that good news or what? Amen. What are you going to do with a God like that? You accept him. Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you've just heard this challenge and you're saying, tonight is my night to surrender to Jesus, I would just like you to acknowledge that to me. We're not going to make a big show out of this, but just slip up your hand right where you are and say, Danny, I want to surrender. I want to say yes to Jesus tonight. I want to surrender to the Lord. God bless you, miss, here. God bless you, sister down in the front, brother over there on the side. Up there in the balcony, there's a couple. There's a brother there in the back. Anyone else? I made this decision 35 years ago, never regretted it once. Because Jesus has proved himself real to me through the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. Let's give it another minute or so. If you want to surrender your life to the Lord tonight, you want to say yes to Jesus, just slip your hand up where you are. God bless you there, Beck. There's another one there. Okay, and then there's one along the aisle there. Father, we thank you for these that have raised their hands to indicate a commitment to you. The issue is not whether or not they've raised their hand, but the issue is their hand represents their heart. And I can see their hand, but you can see their heart. And I want to pray that you would help them to follow through on this decision, to put their stake in the ground and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And I want to pray that you give them the strength. I pray that those of us around them can be an ohana to help them walk this out. Because it seems like the devil is everywhere in this day and age, Lord. And we just say that Jesus is greater. And we invite you to come into our life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Elwin's going to come out and close our time down. But there's a yes table out in the back. If you've made that decision for Christ, if you would at least go get one of those packets, talk to some of our folks there or talk to the people you came with, and they'll help you to walk out this commitment that you've made for Christ. I'll be in the back afterwards to greet you. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Danny Lehman. So thank you again to Danny for all his ministry and travels around the world sharing his love for Christ. Let's all stand together. We conclude. You've received a rich treasure. And Danny's message is now take that and deliver it to those in the highways and the byways, those that you know. Let's pray once more as we conclude. Father God, thank you again for a wonderful time of hearing your heart, Lord, through your servant Danny. We pray you bless his ministry. We pray that you would multiply his ministry thousandfold. Would you say this prayer with me, very short prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. In Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer tonight, Lord. We are now different than when we came in. We praise you with all of our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, we all say together, amen, amen. Would you seal tonight to your heart?